Next on BYUSN, BYU football headed to the Alamo Bowl and will play Big 12 foe Colorado. What's the best case scenario outside of the playoff for the Cougars? BYU announces a long-term extension for head coach Kalani Sitake. We'll discuss the timing and announcement of said extension.
ESPN's Trevor Maddich on BYU's matchup with Colorado, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, and the gang, and if the college football playoff got it right. And Puka Nacua stole the show yesterday in a big win for the Rams. Is there anything he can do to surprise us at this point?
Not much. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, December 9th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who really considered going to the Big 12 championship game, but decided not to at the last minute, Jerem Jordan.
I had friends who bought non-refundable tickets who went to the game or Dallas because they were non-refundable.
Nobody would buy them, right? Apparently on Friday night and Saturday morning.
Really?
Yes.
Is that what happened? Okay, so we had a couple of BYU fans go to the game, which is pretty funny. So we have at Amber NN underscore Big 12 championship. Note to self, buy refundable tickets with the Y. Drowning our sorrows in Dr. Pepper. I'm here for the barbecue. Bitter BYU fan. Big 12 tickets, $300. Flights, $500. Buying your before your team making it, priceless. And then there was Colin Tilford at Hot Heat underscore Head. Shout out to these BYU fans at the Big 12 championship game. This game was stolen from us with the Utah logo. That's really funny. So shout out to those BYU fans who went to the game anyways. I had a neighbor who went with some siblings. I think I mentioned it last week. Just hanging out in Dallas every weekend. Came back.
For much of the game,
dang it,
felt probably what many of you were feeling, which was BYU should have been there. Just one weird bounce away from being in this game and a rematch against Arizona State or whoever.
Darius Lassiter posted something similar of like, come on, Iowa
should've
State.
Should have just given us the rematch.
Should have lost to Kansas State so we could at least get a shot here. I don't know if BYU would have won that game. BYU wasn't playing that great coming in. I just would have liked the opportunity
you
to see.
Wanted
Spence.
The chance to be there.
I just wanted to see if BYU could win it because they were 60 minutes away from the playoff, if that's the case.
I'm confident the BYU would have finished the game closer than Iowa State did.
That's not saying a lot.
I am confident.
That's not saying a lot. You're
Iowa
right.
State
it's
looked
not, pathetic.
It's not saying much.
Jeez.
It was
and
not
State's
a game.
Good. ASU's playing good ball.
Yes, they are. They're on a heater. Yep. On to BYU, though. And it's time to rise and shout. Let's get to what's true.
We're really excited to be invited to the Valero Alamo Bowl, one of the prestigious games in college football. A Coach Prime, I'm a big fan of his.
We don't tap out. Our kids are going to play.
And it'll be an honor for us, so we're looking forward to the game and the matchup.
BYU Colorado at the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio. The Cougars and Kalani Sitake will take on Coach Prime Deion Sanders and his 23rd-ranked Buffaloes on Saturday night, December 28th, ABC prime time. Yesterday, BYU head coach Kalani Sitake and the aforementioned Deion Sanders both spoke about the opportunity to play against each other in a unique all-Big 12 format and talked about the respect they have for each other.
But more than anything, I'm really excited about the matchup that we have against Colorado and Coach Prime. I've known Deion and been able to interact with him, and I'm a big fan of his. It's been fun to be able to watch him and him lead his team this year. And we've had some crossover games, so we've been able to watch their film and see how they perform. And we've been really impressed with what they do on the field. I love the way he leads his team. I love their connection to him. It's a great example to me as a coach to see the way he leads and the way he does it with his faith in Christ and in God. And so we're really excited about this matchup.
Playing against a wonderful storied university at BYU is unbelievable. You talk about leadership. You talk about extension of this man I'm looking at on the screen who's boasting about how much he's going to eat and all that. But don't get that mistaken. Don't get it twisted. He's a darn good football coach, and he's a leader of men, and he's a God-fearing man. So to see him and watch him and to glean from him and to get the opportunity to meet him at the Big 12 meetings now to be able to compete against him is unbelievable, and I'm so thankful that you're affording me this opportunity.
Outside of the college football playoff, hard to argue that BYU Colorado is not the game that will draw the most eyeballs in the Alamo Bowl.
Colorado draws eyeballs. We'd like to think the BYU does too, but Colorado's on another level. This may
no
be the
question.
Most watched BYU game of all time.
wild to think about that.
It might be, with Shador and Travis, who, by the way, is going to win the Heisman Saturday. I don't believe, I've looked this morning, that BYU's ever played the Heisman winner the next game. BYU's played Heisman winners that season. They played them in their careers, but never the next game. I mean, this is a great opportunity.
So, Jerem, the question is, outside of the college football playoff, was this the best case scenario for BYU?
From an interest level, I didn't think that Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders would play in this game.
Oh, he doubled and tripled down to Dion.
I don't understand why they're playing in the game, but guess what? If they actually are, which it sounds like they are, then yes, it is the best case scenario. I thought that they might not, so then I wanted to play Miami even without Cam Ward, just because it was like similar resume teams in the playoff. That would have been interesting to see them go at it. Now we get a matchup of two teams who are in the same league, but the contracts are weird with the Pac-12, the bowl games, the Big 12. The Big 12 chose BYU over Iowa State, by the way. They could have had Iowa State, who was in the Big 12 title game. They chose BYU instead. So I think this is a fun matchup of obviously the star power of Colorado, the two coaches.
The national brand of BYU.
Absolutely. The brand that Colorado has become in college football. I think this is fun. It's after Christmas, which to BYU fans is a big deal. There's not been a ton of bowl games after Christmas. But you could argue easily this is the second greatest bowl game BYU's ever played in. Cotton Bowl would be number one. What about the Holiday in 84? It was a good bowl game.
Fiesta in 74?
That was only one of 11 bowl games at the time. Those were big deals. I'm talking, modern era, star power, Heisman winner, ranked teams, Dion. Like, this is great. Also, it's indoors in the Alamo Dome.
Don't mind that.
So you're not going to have the cold weather. It's going to be great. BYU rematch of the 88 Freedom Bowl when a redshirt freshman Ty Detmer came in to lead BYU to a victory. Colorado's thinking, we don't like the Alamo Bowl because we're 0-3 in that. We don't want to lose again. So can BYU get an 11th win? We'll have plenty of time to talk about all the nuance of this, but generally speaking, I think this is awesome.
All right, all of you need to listen to this from Coach Prime. Maybe you've heard it before, but we're going to play it for you again, and then you tell me, do you think Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter are going to play in this game? Listen to this.
We have a plethora of seniors that are pro-bound, and guess what? Every last one of them are going to play. We don't tap out. We don't sit out. It's a blessing to play this wonderful game. Our kids are going to play. We got a kid that's probably going to pick up, not probably, what I'm talking about, matter of factly going to pick up the Heisman Trophy this week, and he's going to play. We got another quarterback who picked up an award last weekend, and he's going to play.
Does that sound like...
That sounded like fake clapping, by the way. Like a
sitcom. People are clapping in the background.
Yeah, Woo!
Clap track.
That was funny.
Laugh track.
I don't get why they're playing. Like, I heard him. But I'm just like, wait, what? This is you're the highest profile players ever to not play in a playoff or meaningful kind of bowl. This is a meaningful bowl game outside the playoff.
But apparently it does mean something to them.
It means... Which I like. Last week and the week before that, I was saying, I don't think they're going to play. I don't believe Dion. Well... Okay, I believe him now. Like, he's saying they're going to play. Travis Hunter went on a podcast, said he's going to play. I just don't get why, but I'm excited that they are.
It's Big 12 championship game light.
Or heavy, depending on if it's competitive.
Fair point.
Like, I tipped the hat to ASU. This is for third place. This literally is the 3-4 game. That's a great point by Colton Potter in our ear. Not all the great ideas come from us. Colton weighing in.
Oh, and it is the second greatest bowl game that BYU has ever played in.
Yeah.
It has to be.
I don't know what it was before. Liberty 01?
Yeah, maybe the 91 Holiday Bowl when BYU was ranked and they played number 7 Iowa and Ty Detmer was a senior. In terms of a ranked matchup. But again, the Holiday Bowl, I don't believe it will carry the prestige, certainly not the eyeballs that this Alamo Bowl will carry, because BYU is going to be playing against the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yes, it's 4 to 6 million in viewership, probably. That's my guess.
Saturday night,
I think
ABC.
It'll be 4 to 6 million. That's a lot. BYU typically in the kind of 1 to 2 range.
I don't see how this isn't the best case scenario for BYU. Like, I tried to answer the question this morning.
I don't think
it's
so.
Like, what other game could have been better for BYU?
If Cam Ward plays for Miami, that's pretty interesting.
BYU playing Alabama in the ReliaQuest Bowl?
That wasn't even an option, But, yeah, it was this or Pop-Tarts, right, against Miami. Miami, you have some history there, having played them. You know, there's a couple games with Colorado, but, in fact, there's actually 12 previous games. They used to be in the same league back in the 20s and 30s. Now they're in the same league again. So I'm intrigued. The fact that the Big Two were playing in this game, that's pretty exciting. BYU doesn't have any opt-outs that we know of. There certainly could be before the game, but I don't see why not. BYU's going for an 11th win, and all the reasons that we outlined, this is pretty cool. I'm excited about this. I think it's going to be fun. It's gonna, in a good spot. Obviously, at some point, BYU wants to play in a New Year's Day game, but it's not the New Year's Day that we have come to grown accustomed to. If BYU had made the playoff, they wouldn't play any New Year's game per se. That'd be the next round, depending on if they got the bye or not and whatnot. So we're not at that point, but this is certainly an excellent consolation prize, especially coming out of Independence and not making it last year, where the bowl games you played in, we just didn't get that juiced for it. The opponent, the location, the data, whatever you care about. Location is like 17th in the conversation here. It's all about all these other things. Like, the game itself is compelling. The people in said game are compelling. We're going to watch Shedeur Sanders and Shiloh Sanders and Travis Hunter and these guys in the NFL and be like, remember that 2024 Alamo Bowl? Remember the Alamo Bowl? We're gonna say that. It's going to be fun, man. And the fact that they're both Big 12 teams is kind of weird. They didn't play each other. But that's kind of the deal in conference expansion. You're getting some weird situations where you don't play everybody. But I like this. This is great.
It's kind of like BYU playing Cal in 2005 when they had DeSean Jackson and Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
And like that was star power.
And that was a good game of just mediocre teams, however. At the time, BYU was 6-5 walking
right
in.
Those were not ranked teams. Yeah. Cal was good and had elite talent, but it's not like this.
Right.
There are a couple of side stories at play here. One, Rick George, the athletic director for Colorado. And as you would expect, he said, look, our fans are going to show up. They're excited. We're going to have a home crowd. And then BYU fans are like, whoa, 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 whoa. We have quite the alumni base in Texas.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, yeah. So I am interested to see what shows up for both sides.
Did Colorado's fans show up to the Big 12 title game like we just showed you? Did they? Because BYU fans literally went to the Big 12 title game thinking they'd be in it. They're going to show up in Texas.
No, and Deion said, guess what? Look, there are a lot of Cowboys fans that love me and love my sons.
Yeah,
and like
that.
So
sure.
They'll show up and they're going to root for the Buffs. Absolutely.
Last time BYU went to Texas, last two times this year, went pretty well. Beat a really good Baylor team, 8-4. Beat SMU. Mm. Come on. BYU in Texas this year?
Can they beat a second-ranked team in Texas?
Huh?
Okay.
Let's go.
So, fun dynamic. Again, not faulting Rick George for saying that. Trust me,
no. Like
there's a huge contingent of Buffalo's fans that are very excited about what's happening, understandably.
Colorado's similar to BYU in that they thought they'd be in the Big 12 title game. They thought they might be in the playoff, but they're not yet. They're playing in a compelling game. There's similar sort of motivations. Also, Alamo Bowl history, as you mentioned, 0-3 for Colorado. Hey, let's get that first win. Yeah, I think this is an awesome situation. It wasn't as awesome when I didn't think that Shedeur and Travis were going to play in the game. But now that they're playing in the game, now it's juicy.
Fantastic.
It's actually a better matchup than maybe even certain ones in the playoff if BYU was in that. I'm talking from a game perspective, not being in the playoff, obviously.
I'm excited to watch good football and two ultra-motivated teams.
You know what this isn't? UAB in the Independence Bowl. It's not that.
Oh, this is as far from Shreveport as you could possibly be. Not in physical distance,
yeah, I was gonna say,
but in emotional distance,
yeah.
Especially for me.
The emotional distance. Wide.
Yes, and financial distance for sure.
Because BYU shares in the bowl revenue,
it's not as big of a deal
of it in that way.
But it's nice that it helps at least pay for BYU to get there.
Oh, much more than that.
And the school's not having to foot the entire bill to get to Shreveport.
Granted, everything divided by 16.
Yes. Yes. Hey, we cannot wait for BYU and Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. Two ranked teams. BYU's going to finish ranked, win or lose, but it would be really nice to
Think so? Even if?
Yes.
If BYU lost big? I'm not sure on that.
Okay, if they get blown out, but I don't think BYU's going to get blown out.
I hope not. I think they'll be motivated.
BYU hasn't been blown out in 12 games this year, so I don't anticipate that all of a sudden they're going to get blown out. But I believe they'll finish ranked, but man, it would be nice to be like flirting with the top 15.
Oh, you
and
win,
then,
you're in the top 15.
And then clearly going into next season, you are a preseason top 25 team.
Yeah, you're 18-25 somewhere.
Love that. Our question of the day, now that it's official, how are all of you feeling about BYU's matchup with Colorado in the Alamo Bowl?
Are we saying Colorado or Colorado?
No. It's
we
Rado.
We are Colorado.
It's Rado.
You lived in
Colorado. I lived there. Rado. I was a Coloradan for 3 years.
Rado in.
We had discussions about this, even with employees I worked with at KJCT News 8 who came from the East Coast.
Shout
and
out.
Said Rado.
Shout out.
Stop it.
Yeah.
It's Colorado.
Okay.
At GJ Jacobson on X.
Oregon.
Says, I am really excited for the game now that Colorado's top players are committed to playing. If guys like Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders had decided to sit out, I'd be a lot less interested.
This is why I was more interested in maybe playing Miami in the Pop-Tarts, even though Cam Ward was probably going to sit out anyway. I haven't heard about him in that game, but now they play Iowa State. Whatever. Mm. Jared Russell 14 on Instagram. Dumb. You need to play a non-conference team.
I don't think, like, I know that you don't like the idea of two Big 12 teams matching up with each other, but again, BYU didn't play Colorado. It's not a rematch of any sort.
It will be next year.
It will be next year.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it.
In fact, it's actually more compelling than most non-conference matchups BYU would have had. With a good team. If you play Miami, Cam Ward's probably not playing.
Who would you rather put in the Alamo Bowl? The other options were like Washington State.
No, thanks.
And a middling, what, USC? Who's going to have half their guys in the transfer portal?
Yeah.
Like, no.
No.
No, USC wasn't good enough.
It's a fair fight. Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't good enough to play in this game. It's Colorado.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep it rolling, man.
Okay,
Juice is good today.
BYU announced a long-term extension of head coach Kalani Sitake late on Saturday night. That was the phrasing. They didn't say the exact number. I would think into the 2030s. It was through 27. You're going probably at least three or four more years. Let's say through at least 31 would be my guess. I don't know. What's your reaction to the timing, which was Saturday night at 10 p.m., and announcement of Kalani Sitake's extension?
When I first saw this, my reaction was, why Saturday night?
At 10 p.m.?
This late.
It was an interesting spot
almost
to announce
almost 10
that.
O'clock. Why? And then the wheels started to turn into my head. Why would BYU do something like this? And this is pure speculation on my part. And there were some others on social media that feel the same way that I do.
And I agree with this.
Did Kalani Sitake have a big-time offer somewhere else? And BYU was like, nope! We're extending you. We're giving you a raise. We're going to make you the long-term coach because we don't want you to go anywhere else.
This is what happened in 21.
Yes.
Like Oregon and Washington really wanted Kalani.
Offers on the table at that point.
And so BYU re-upped, which is what happens when you succeed. So congrats to BYU for inking more time with Kalani. And if you're Kalani, it's smart. Hey, great season. Let's keep me here. Let's keep this going. So congrats to Kalani for the, quote, long-term extension. We don't know exactly what that means. I would guess it's into the 2030s. So
he said he wanted to be forever, the Polynesian Lavelle. He wanted to be here long-term.
And he said that kind of joking, but I think part of him feels serious about that, of like, I want to be the guy for a long time here. I want to be a legacy guy. I want to be is he going to win as many games or have a Heisman National Championship at BYU? Hey, maybe in the future. I don't know.
Look at those numbers
right
now.
So far, so good, dog. There was a point in 2019, when BYU was kind of 500-ish, where there were some disgruntled fans and people regarding Kalani Sitake as the leader of the BYU football program.
There were disgruntled fans after last season.
Oh, come on.
Which is so dumb.
Come on. And then, the end of 2019, BYU puts in Zach Wilson. They go 5-2 to finish. They have the 2020 year. They have the 2021 year, which validated the 20 year, by the way. 22 wasn't what you wanted, but still 8-5. 23, Big 12 transition, and now 24, BYU proves to the world that they belong, and 10-2, hopefully 11-2. And they ink Kalani Sitake. This is the right move. He aligns not only with the mission of BYU trying to win on the field, but off it. That's certainly important to the stakeholders in Salt Lake.
100%.
That matters a lot. It's more than just football. It's about how he creates a group of great men and cultivates great leaders. And so he is the right guy for BYU football for the long term. Congratulations
clearly,
to Kalani.
Clearly. Why Saturday night? I don't know. But it feels like there were understandably some suitors out there, and BYU nipped it in the bud.
Yeah, took care of it.
Let's go.
And we don't know that that's the case, but it feels like that with the timing of that announcement. That or we don't want to get beat by Thamel. We're putting it out right now.
We want to be ahead of the national news.
Which sometimes we're like, well, why doesn't BYU do that? Well, they did it. So no complaints.
Oh, Kalani Sitake, long-term head coach at BYU.
Absolutely.
Yesterday, you may have heard, was Selection Sunday for the college football playoff, first ever 12-team format. And there was just a little bit of debate about who should get into said 12-team playoff.
I was with my 5-month-old in the pre-scorm, and I conveniently was like, oh, she's crying. I need to go out in the hallway while this was being announced.
As it stands, the 12-team field is set. Oregon, the number one seed. Arizona State, of note, the four seed.
Should have been the three.
Got a bye. Boise State got that three seed. Georgia, the two seed. But then there was a huge conversation about who gets the final spot after Clemson upset SMU in the ACC championship game.
Bid stealer.
Clemson, the 12 seed. SMU, the 11. No Alabama, which is how I felt it would go if Clemson were the champion. I had a lot of you tell me, you're delusional, Spencer.
Well, yeah. But
you're delusional. Alabama's going to get it. No.
Yes, but not in this thing.
SMU gets the final playoff bid. As you look at the bracket, Jerem,
yes.
Do you feel like the committee got the 12 teams right?
I can see the argument for Alabama, but don't lose twice to 6-6 teams. And don't lose by, what, 21 to a 6-6 Oklahoma team?
You're not one of the 12 best teams in the country if you lose to Oklahoma by 21 and score 3 points and lose to 6-6 Vanderbilt.
That was 2 weeks ago, by the way, the Oklahoma game. When you lose matters. How you lose matters.
Ask BYU about it.
Yes, yes. My other thing is I do think the Arizona State should have been 3 over Boise State. Boise State's carrying the cachet of the mid-early 2000s, which has nothing to do with what this is, right? It'd be nice to play B-Boy State, by the way. You play Penn State or SMU for a chance at the semis versus, say, Notre Dame like Georgia needs to, or Oregon's playing Ohio State, Tennessee. Your reward is the one seed is Ohio State or Tennessee. Are you kidding me? Arizona State, Texas, Clemson, that's tough as well.
Texas Boy got State's the best draw of all.
Yes, they did. They got a good one. I think that ASU with 2 ranked wins plus 20 spots in strength to schedule over Boise State, and within 3 spots in strength of schedule and game control, Boise State should have been the 3. But I'm not going to argue that hard for Arizona State. I just want to bring it up.
It's, yes, I don't disagree. When you're playing the way that Arizona State is playing, and I'm not going to do is be like, well, in a hypothetical matchup between Arizona State and Boise State, who would win? While I think Arizona State wins that game, that's not how you should determine what happens in the playoff bracket with a hypothetical matchup.
Otherwise, if that's how we're going to do it, then odds makers are going to dictate seeds.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
No, it's what have you done.
Are valuing resumes.
Yes.
The real problem here is the committee set a precedent early that strength of schedule didn't matter. They set it early when they put Indiana and Boise State up there super high.
Yep.
With their really bad strength of schedule. And now you're in a situation where you can either double down, because if you try and fix it, then you just look dumb. Like, oh, we messed up.
We changed our mind.
Okay, and the pride of...
Which you could, you just choose not.
You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, your pride's going to get in the way. It's like, no. Like, this is what we did. So they made the mistake early on in where they placed those teams that had bad strength of schedule, like SMU, like Indiana, and like Boise State, and allowed them to climb. It became more like the AP poll, where it's like, well, you won this week, and this team lost, so I guess we'll just bump you up. It's like, you don't have to do that. You can throw everything out every week and then just look at the resume week to week and base it on blind resumes, if you will, every week.
Then the complaint would be, there's no consistency. So I would not want to be on said committee.
Terrible position.
It's by like being a ref. It's a lose-lose. Like, yes, you're close to the game and making money, but everyone's just mad at you.
Yeah,
no one's happy with it.
You didn't have to move Boise State up into a number 9 or number 8 position. You didn't have to do that. You
but
could say
they're
you
Boise
know,
State, they're not Tulane, or like if I'm Army, I'm going nothing. Like, we didn't play anybody either. Look at it, like, just because we're not in the Big Ten.
Well, BYU. How are you feeling if you're BYU and your strength of schedule is worlds better than Indiana and Boise State, and even like a team like, gosh, SMU. You beat them head to head.
The wrong Big 12 teams were good. If the preseason ranked ones had been good, they'd beat Big 12 would have had 2 bids. But Oklahoma State, Utah, Kansas State weren't good enough.
Yeah, based on the criteria that the committee set up early and doubled down on early, they got it right. You couldn't punish SMU at number 8. They allowed SMU to get to number 8.
Then you would have neutered championship game value.
Yes. Then it's like, well, we're not playing in the championship
Why
game.
Would we want to be in the
SMU
championship game?
SMU would be in. They could be like, no, we're not playing in it.
We would have been
and
in.
And we're in.
And now we played it and we lost.
Yes.
So they And every year is different with the committee because they change members, so the emphasis next year could suddenly be strength of schedule. We don't know. But if you look forward, BYU's playing Stanford for its P4 games. Cal, at Oregon, Boston College, Virginia Tech. They're playing winnable P4 games.
Yes.
Which is important in this conversation. Because they need to do what they did this year, which is 3-0 in non-con every year. 3-0.
There's only one small change besides more adherence to the strength of schedule that I want. And that is if you are going to
16 teams.
If you're, well, okay.
I want that.
That would be fun. Yeah. If you're going to qualify as one of the top four seeds.
Oh, throw that out. The conference champions? The conference champs can get in, but they can't be the top four seeds.
Okay, so if you're going to continue that, if you're going to reward the conference champions as the top four seeds, like they're going to be like, no, we're still doing that, at least add the stipulation of you must be ranked in the top eight. You must be ranked in the top eight.
Why eight?
Because if you're in the final, you're in the final eight. You get a bye to the quarterfinals.
Gotcha.
Right?
I would just say don't give them the advancement, the bye. Just say, oh, you're automatically in the field.
You're in.
You're in.
You're
yeah.
Not,
yeah.
But if you're not one of the four best teams, why?
Why don't we just have the top four teams as the top four teams? It feels weird. Like, why is Boise State a three seed?
No,
here? Why is Arizona State a four seed?
Yes.
This is weird.
What if the ACC and the Big 12 champs were both outside of the top 12 and Boise State was number 12? But they're the third highest ranked conference champ. You're putting the number 12 team as the number three seed?
Let's change that immediately for next year.
It seems short-sighted.
Yeah.
So if you want to add the stipulation and they want to keep that, at least make the team be in the top eight.
Yeah.
Like something. Something. All right.
Make it 32. What? BYU Sports Nation game day for the Alamo Bowl. Cougars and Colorado Buffaloes coming up Saturday, December 28th, 5:30 Eastern on BYU TV.
After the break, Jerem goes one-on-one with ESPN's Trevor Maddish to discuss BYU's bowl game matchup with Coach Prime in Colorado. And does Mr. Maddish think the College Football Playoff Committee got it right with the 12 teams they selected? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Primetime Saturday night against Colorado is where the eyeballs will be. Maybe probably the biggest, most watched bowl that's not a playoff game.
Kalani and BYU, Coach Prime in Colorado in the primetime in San Antonio in the Alamo Bowl. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation.
Or David on his mission too, I think.
That's true.
Yeah, San Antonio.
It's true. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan.
Hey, this morning I talked to ESPN's Trevor Maddish, and boy, did we have a lot to talk about. BYU and Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. Why would Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter play in this game as they reportedly are? According to Deion Sanders, Kalani Sitake's contract extension, the college football playoff bracket, and much more. Trevor, Spencer and I were just talking about how, hey, BYU and Colorado, this is probably the best case scenario for BYU outside of the college football playoff. They're going to play against who we think the Heisman Trophy winner is going to be in Travis Hunter. That's pretty cool. Shador Sanders, these are two top five picks probably. Is this the best scenario for BYU outside of being in the playoff?
I think it's fantastic, Jerem, because you look at the whole Colorado mystique with Coach Prime as their head coach. Shador Sanders will likely be the first quarterback taken in the draft. Travis Hunter will likely be the Heisman Trophy winner. There will be so many eyes and so many celebrities and so much buzz about this game. Forget BYU, which is a very popular team with a tremendous fan base, but adding Colorado to it, it'll be watched. It'll be fantastic. And it's a great opportunity for BYU to show that they belong with some of the biggest stars in all of college football, both from a player standpoint and from a coaching standpoint. Then you add to it the fact that it's being played in Texas, which is an important recruiting area for BYU. This is a terrific bowl game for the Cougars to play in.
Would this be the best win of the season should BYU win it?
It would be, I think, one of the top two. I think that SMU win is still the best win. SMU went undefeated through their ACC schedule. They came very close to winning the ACC championship, and they are a playoff team. And BYU beat them on their home field. I think that is BYU's best win. But Colorado is hot. I mean, they won their last game something like, 59-0, something like that. And so Colorado right now is playing their best football of the last 2 years. And so this would be a fantastic win if the Cougars are able to pull it off.
52-0. Pretty good, right? They blow out Oklahoma State. Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are playing. Deion Sanders has said that. I don't really understand why. I like it. I'm excited about it. I just don't really believe it because typically guys opt out of this situation, especially when they're surefire top five, top 10 picks. What's the value of playing for them, you think?
I don't know. I think mostly it's a culture thing. Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, has been criticized for not having culture at Colorado because of all the transfers he brings in. He'll bring in 50 transfers a year the last couple of years or so. He brings in a lot. But the truth of it is he is very focused on the right kind of culture, on getting the guys to do the right things off the field, to be good young men. And I think part of that culture is we don't back down. We play every opportunity. We're competitors. And if there's a chance to compete, whether it's ping pong or it's a bowl game, we're there. And having his son, Shedeur Sanders, who is, you know, about to be a very high draft choice, and then Travis Hunter, that is the dual threat, legitimate shutdown corner and a legitimate impact wide receiver, have both of those guys play in this game establishes and furthers that culture that we will play anybody, anytime, not just because it's on the schedule, but because we love to play. And so I really think this is a culture furthering moment. And the fact that the big stars are buying into it is a big deal for Colorado football going forward.
ESPN's Trevor Maddich is on BYU Sports Nation. Certainly the Cougars wanted to be in the playoff, but in this bowl game they have a chance for an 11th win, which is crazy to say out loud still. That passing offense, which is number 4 in the country against BYU's number 3 ranked pass defense efficiency, that's going to be a fun matchup. What else sticks out for you in this bowl?
It's going to be the pass rush of BYU. They're not tremendously prolific at getting after the passer in terms of sacks, but they pressure them a fair amount, and that's going to have to happen in order to slow down Shedeur Sanders. When he has time to throw, there's nobody better in the nation. And the thing is, their team as a whole, offensive line, running backs, the people that protect the passer, last year in the Pac-12, they were worst in the Pac-12, one of the worst in the nation. I think they gave up like 56 sacks, something like that. This year, Colorado is much better. Their sacks are in the 30s, but they are still the most sacked team in the Big 12. And so they're, even though they've improved, they're still vulnerable in that spot. Now the question is, how will BYU be able to attack that? And as I watch Colorado on film, what I see is that if you make the offensive linemen move their feet side to side, make them slide out, then slide back in to react to stunts and slants and things like that, that's when you'll have the best chance to win one-on-one. Now, I didn't talk to anybody at BYU or Colorado about that. That's just me watching tape, so take it for what it's worth. But to me, that's where this game is going to be won and lost, because you're right. That Colorado receiving core is far more than just Travis Hunter. That Colorado defense is stout against the run, and they are much improved in the secondary overall. I mean, this is a really good Colorado team. And so you've got to slow down the biggest star, which is Shedeur Sanders at quarterback, and you've got to take advantage of an offensive line that is growing, that is getting better, but is still not fully up to the standard that they want.
9th in the country in plays of 20-plus passing. That's how you make up for those sacks. Trevor Maddich is on BYU Sports Nation. How does BYU match up with Travis Hunter on both sides of the ball?
Well, he can only cover one guy on defense, and BYU has a very deep receiver core. The problem is they've got other guys that can cover two, and don't forget safety Shiloh Sanders, who is also Deion Sanders' son, who's playing there, and he's an enforcer. He's a massive hitter on that side of the ball. And so the way to do it is, I mean, you can throw at Travis Hunter. Some people have, and some people have had success from time to time, but I wouldn't beat my head against a rock. I mean, I would move receivers around. I'd have bunch formations. I would get matchups that I want from a BYU offensive scheme perspective away from Travis Hunter. And then why go after their best guy? Get a better matchup with your third or fourth receiver option and make sure you know where that is and go there and see if it works. If it does, just keep on going and going and going. Now, again, that doesn't mean you just avoid Hunter, because then he'll match up on one guy and let them play 10 on 10 on the other side. And you want to make sure that there's got to be some sort of balance in their secondary. But, you know, I'm a firm believer in this kind of a game. You go with the matchups that favor you, and you don't say, yeah, I'm big and tough and I'll beat my chest and that guy's going to win the Heisman Trophy most likely and I'm going to go after him. okay, that's mildly interesting, but it's not the way to game plan a game like this, in my opinion.
To me, BYU hasn't had a quality kind of full game, great performance since Arizona on October 12th. It's been here and there. There have been wins. There have been some losses. Colorado certainly draws your attention, gets you motivated. Is that enough for BYU to summon another four-quarter experience here against a very good team to try to get that 11th win?
Jeremy, I think it is for a couple of reasons. One is the culture of BYU's team is to give it everything they've got. And sometimes they've fallen short. Everybody falls short. But at the same time, it's not the culture of this team to go through the motions. Also, when you watch Colorado on film, when they watch Colorado on film, they'll see on both sides of the ball that if they don't bring their A game, the Cougars now, Colorado has the star power and the skill. And on the defensive side, the stoutness up front to make it a really long game, let's put it that way, for BYU. And the last thing you want to do is cap off a 10-win regular season by getting embarrassed because you weren't ready to play. And those should be reasons enough for the competitor in the BYU players to rise up and give it their very best game. Also, for goodness sake, I mean, you mentioned a chance to win the 11th game. That would be such a great bow on top of one of the best seasons in the history of BYU football, in my opinion. There have been other, you know, double-digit win seasons. But this one was done as a member of the Power Five or Power Four conferences, and it was done with a win on the road against a playoff team. And it was done in magnificent fashion by BYU, coming back from behind multiple times. I mean, this 10-win season for BYU has to be seen as one of the best in their history. And to turn that 10-win into an 11-win with a victory over ranked Colorado to cap it off, with the stars that they have on that team, there's no reason in the world for BYU not to give this their A effort.
A win means a lot. A loss means three out of the last four you lost, and you don't want to go into the offseason on that note, despite 10 wins. So it feels like it's a very important game for multiple reasons. Okay, BYU extends Kalani Sitake to, quote, a long-term deal. Safe to assume that's into the 2030s at least. Not thinking 2040s, but a long-term deal. What'd you make of that news that came out Saturday night?
I love it. I think Kalani Sitake is a legitimate candidate for National Coach of the Year this year. It'll probably go to Kenny Dillingham of Arizona State, and deservedly so. But when you talk about Indiana's Kurt Cignetti and some others, even Billy Napier at Florida with the way they finished the season against that schedule, Kalani Sitake is up there in the top tier of coaching performances this year. So he deserves the extension. The other thing, though, is that I think, you know, and I've said it before, I believe that Coach Sitake, I believe it would be great for BYU football for him to continue on long-term and have another career in the footsteps of Lavelle Edwards, decades long, influencing players, not just as players, but as men, having their sons come back and play for the same coach that they did, and those sons being built into men by the mentorship of Coach Sitake. I believe that he has the coaching chops. He's got the talent. He's got the spiritual connection to the university. And he has the personal character to do what Lavelle did from a standpoint of longevity and impact on this program. In order for that to happen, he needs to be on the same page with the administration and the athletic department. And they need to be on the same page with him. They need to both mesh together. And I'm glad to see that at least for the duration of this next contract, it's heading in that direction. I can't speak highly enough of Coach Sitake. As I look around the nation at great coaches and put Coach Sitake in that group and then compare him, I think overall and especially for BYU, he is a magnificent fit.
Absolutely. And he aligns with the mission of BYU, which is much more than just football, although you need to win in football, which BYU has done with 10 or more wins in three of the last five. Okay, college football playoff rankings revealed and the bracket, and did they get it right? Where'd you have an issue?
You know, I think they mostly got it right. You know, it depends on what they value. And in this final ranking, we saw that they value not just winning a conference championship game, that gives you an automatic berth, but also in playing in a conference championship game. Penn State played in the Big Ten championship game against Oregon, lost that game, but still finished ranked ahead of an Ohio State team that beat them even though the one loss record was within one of another. So the head-to-head was trumped, it seems, by the fact that Penn State played in the conference championship game and played well. Same way with SMU. I mean, SMU didn't have a win over a team that finished the season ranked, and yet they played in the conference championship game and played well and, you know, had a roaring comeback and almost took that thing to overtime against Clemson. The committee was very impressed by that. And because of that, they put SMU in as a large team ahead of teams with multiple ranked wins like Alabama, Ole Miss, things like that. And so the committee respected that. You can disagree with that. You can say that they should have been more interested in who did you beat or more interested in who beat you. But overall, I thought the committee had far less controversy with the final ranking than we've seen really ever in the four-team ranking. And I don't think that there is nearly as much vitriol nationally. In the Big 12, there is. In the ACC, there is. But nationally, I think the consensus is that the committee did as good a job as could be expected.
Should Arizona State be the 3 seed over 4 seed Boise State?
I think you can make that case because the Mountain West Conference this year was just awful. But Boise State has a couple things going in their favor. One is that they beat UNLV twice when UNLV was ranked. So that's 2 ranked wins. The thing that's benefited Boise with the committee all year was that early loss to Oregon, where that game was tied with 2 seconds to go, as that game-winning field goal for Oregon sailed through the uprights. And I think the committee was very impressed with the fact that for 3 hours, Boise State stood toe-to-toe with the number one team in the country and only lost on a walk-off field goal at the end. So, you know, you can make that case that the committee got it right to put Boise State up there, but at the same time, the body of work over the total course of the conference schedule, Arizona State played in a much, much tougher conference. And one of Arizona State's 2 losses, they didn't have their starting quarterback. You know, he was out. This is Sam Levitt, when they only scored 14 points and lost to Cincinnati. So, you know, again, it depends on what the committee is going to value. Either way, the fact that they have the Big 12 champ ranked ahead of the ACC champ and getting a first-round bye, I think, is a feather in the cap of the Big 12.
As always, bringing it. We appreciate the time. Trevor, best of luck with everything coming up with all the bowl coverage.
Thanks.
Always good to have Trevor on the program. Men's basketball. Oh, yeah, they're still playing ball. Feels like forever. 8 days between games. They're playing Fresno State Wednesday. Coverage begins on BYU TV and BYU Radio at 8 Eastern.
Puka Nacua absolutely stole the show in the NFL yesterday for the Rams. And transfer portal season is officially here. Headlines loaded are on the way. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Let's get to today's loaded headline rundown.
BYU football headed to San Antone to play number 23 Colorado in the Alamo Bowl on Saturday, December 28th, 7:30 Eastern on ABC, pregame on BYU TV, BYU Radio, 5:30 Eastern that day. Buffalo's head coach Deion Sanders said yesterday that both Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter will play in the bowl game. In fact, he said we have no opt-outs. Be BYU and Colorado's first meeting as Big 12 conference members. First meeting since Ty Detmer led BYU to a 2017 win over the Buffaloes in the 1988 Freedom Bowl.
Remember the Alamo. BYU Athletic Director Tom Homo announced on Saturday night Kalani Sitake and BYU have agreed to a long-term contract extension.
All right, yeah.
Woo! Sitake's previous contract announced in 2021 ran through 2027. No terms were discussed. We don't know years.
2030 is you'd think.
Sitake has led BYU to 10-win seasons 3 times in the last 5 years and to bowl games in 7 of his 9 seasons. He's got a winning bowl record at 4-2. Hopefully it's 5-2.
BYU ranked number 17 in yesterday's final college football playoff poll, second highest among Big 12 teams. Arizona State beat Iowa State 45-19 in the Big 12 championship game, which I heard was Saturday morning. BYU at 17, Iowa State 18, Colorado number 23, rounding out the top 4.
The NCAA transfer portal cycle for the 2025 college football season officially opened today. and will close on Saturday, December 28th, the day of the Alamo Bowl. At this point, five BYU players have entered the portal or announced their intentions to get in the portal. They are wide receiver Cody Epps, safety Micah Harper, tight end Jackson Bowers, running back Miles Davis, and long snapper Dalton Riggs.
Puka Nacua shined for the Rams yesterday in a 44-42 amazing game against the Bills. 12 passes, 162 yards, touchdown, added a rushing touchdown as well. Passed Michael Thomas for second most career receptions through a player's first 25 games, and Justin Jefferson for second most career 100-yard receiving games in a player's first 25 games. And he tied OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., for most games with at least 9 catches, 100 yards, through a first 25 games of an NFL
career. Amazing.
Amazing stuff from
Incredible Cooper. Run. And wild to listen to Tom Brady just
gush.
Gloat and gush about Puka Nacua. Hey, other Cougars in the NFL headlines feature Tyler Algier, who ran 9 times for 63 yards, 7 yards a carry. Scored his 3rd TD of the season in a Falcons 42-21 loss to the Vikings.
Good division there, dude.
Fred Warner had 3 tackles for the 49ers in a 38-13 rout over the Bears. Ryan Rico and the Cincinnati Bengals take on the Dallas Cowboys tonight in Dallas on Monday Night Football.
You're watching the Simpsons version of that tonight?
I'm going to watch at least part of it.
With my yes. Kids, yeah. Men's track and field, strong showings at Boston University this weekend. Carter Cutting running a sub-4-minute mile for the men's team. Shout out Wilsonville, Oregon. And Megan Hunter and Tessa Buswell posting top 10 all-time times in the 800 meters as well.
Wild weekend. Now that it's official, how are all of you feeling about BYU's matchup with Colorado in the Alamo Bowl? More of your reaction after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B. Our question of the day, now that it's official, how are you feeling about BYU and Colorado in the Valero Alamo Bowl on December 28th? At Brent C. in Bad on X says, good. The Alamo Bowl was beyond my imagination at the beginning of the season.
Right.
Colorado brings a lot of eyes, especially if Travis Hunter wins the Heisman Trophy.
He will.
Definitely one of the top 3 non-playoff bowl games.
I'll give you more on this later because I'm finishing my research pre-show during the show. Is I believe that this is the first time that BYU will have ever played the Heisman Trophy winner right after they win it. And BYU's played a couple of guys during that season, and they played a few other guys during their careers.
Yeah.
But this is certainly a unique situation because he's going to win it Saturday, and then BYU's going to play him 2 weeks later.
Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart come to mind, right?
Yes. Those are a couple. I'll give you the full situation later. I need to double check some stuff.
Our good friend, the pastor, Derwin Gray, on Instagram answers.
I was like, who's at the pastor?
If BYU plays to its potential, BYU wins by 12 points or more. Right now, Colorado is a 4 to 4.5 point favorite.
Oh, I hadn't seen the line. Interesting. Yeah. BYU's defensive pass efficiency is number 3 in the country. Number 4 passing offense for Colorado. So that's a fun matchup.
Love it.
Very similar turnover margins, by the way, for both teams.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from at Koogmack on X, who says, the Big 12 championship everyone wanted a month too late.
It is a month too late, and it very well could have been. Imagine if both teams win and they play that game, this is not obviously the bowl game that happens. So this is that's a truly elite voice of the day. Some days I disagree with the selection. I agree completely today. That is a great selection. Nice job.
The Big 12 championship. It's like the third place game in the World Cup, featuring two bona fide.
No one cares about that game.
Like stars.
I think more people care about this game. Women's basketball takes on Utah Valley tomorrow, 9 Eastern on ESPN+, and BYU Radio.
We'll wrap up today's loaded show with the rise and shout out to how many more years with Kalani Sitake? I don't know, but it feels like a lot. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Long term, baby.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, as we welcome you back to the show, goes to none other than
Kalani Sitake for getting the extension. We don't know the details of how long he has extended out. I think it's safe to say into the early 2030s. But he is the right guy for BYU right now. He is crushing it. It's more than just football, as we talked about. He checks all the boxes on and off the field, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Like, he's a guy that wants and welcomes this new era of collegiate athletics too, Spence. Some people don't want it. They don't want to deal with the semi-pro nature of this. Kalani's all in, man.
It takes a very unique personality to handle the balance between the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, faith, football, how the gospel relates to that, and translating that into the game of football and preparing men to be great leaders just in their lives wherever they go. Kalani is the guy for it.
He can win and do that. It's hard to find that guy.
And he's done it.
Hard to find that guy.
Our thanks to today's guest, ESPN's Trevor Maddich.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. All shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Brandon Ogletree. BYU in Colorado on December 28th. We'll see you tomorrow back here in studio. Be go Cougs.